Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cool Down featuring Christy. As yeah. You heard in the background. How are you guys doing this evening? Claudia, do you wanna mute yourself so you can do some of your domestic matters? You know,
give me
I'll ask you what your dinner order is. Hey Wonga, how are you doing, man?
Nah, I'm good. Obviously, like I was telling you before, the season's over, so there's nothing. I mean, everything's cemented now, so I've got to be happy with it. I mean, I can't be frustrated. Nothing we can do, it's done.
Okay, no. That's all good, man. That's all good. Claudia, how are you doing? You're on mute, Claudia.
Very, very good. Thank you very much.
Are you good?
Big week ahead of a big weekend. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Against the big team with the big man.
Oh, man. Guys, thanks a lot for tuning in, everyone. The season is over. The Premier League season is over. We've come to an end. 38 games have passed. We started the season off in August, and now we've gotten to the end of the season in May, we just need to obviously bring down the curtain and look back at what's been a great season, you know. Obviously for my side has not been a great season, but I think just in terms of entertainment value and the competitiveness of the league, it's been amazing. You know, last season Man City won the season by about 10-11 points. But this season, they only won the season by a point, so which is great for the Premier League, and I think we'll continue to obviously be an amazing league. I just want to just touch on something in terms of our fantasy. As you can see there at the bottom, Bebo Man won our fantasy with 2-5-2-1 points. That's 21 points ahead of Enzo, and then Patricio on 2-4-9-4. And then Vito on 2-4-5-6, and then Leborang, who's gang, 2-4-5-3. So yeah, ironically, guys, number 1 and 5 are cousins. Number 1 and 5 are cousins. But yeah, congrats to Bebo. There will be something coming to you as a prize from Goal Lounge TV. Just obviously look out for that. But yeah, guys, next season we'll be back with a fantasy league. With probably some lovely prizes. Claudia and I will probably work on something together and see what we can prepare for the next season. But yeah, guys, thanks a lot for participating. We had over 100 people in the league. Let's obviously, you know, get to more than 200 people next season. Claudia, do you want to say anything on the fantasy thing? You know, because obviously we had a fantasy guru last week.
No, I see Lebohang just snuck in there. He wasn't in the top 5 the whole season, and then he finished and made that top 5. Yeah,
so he did.
Pulled an Arsenal.
I think out of the top 5, he got the most points in the last round. He got 97, whereas everyone else got like 60s and 50s and so on. But yeah, he did well.
Clearly tuned into last week's show.
He definitely did. He definitely got the tips. Got the tips. So yeah, guys, we're gonna start off the show with what happened at Anfield and the Etihad. That's where we're gonna start off. You know, the league has to have a champion, and going into the final game of the season, Liverpool was still in it. It was quite dramatic. Claudia and I and Matt had a watch along on Sunday. We were watching our respective games. Claudia was watching his respective game. We even had a spy in the grounds. A man was watching the game live at Anfield, sending us information before it actually happened. You know, telling us what the feeling and the mood was in the crowd, which is amazing. I love that inside info. You're telling us, you know, people are. There was some point you said that it felt like someone had died. You know, because it was just so quiet and so hush. So I think that's when Man City scored the second goal. I think it kind of, they were like, ooh. Like, you know, people were happy when Coutinho scored the second goal for Aston Villa, and they were, you know, jumping up and down, thinking to themselves, it's 1-1 for us. We just need one goal and we win the league. And Man City needs to score 3 goals to retake the league. So obviously 3 goals versus 1 goal, you know, you think to yourself that Liverpool's got it.
Sure.
Claudio, can you please you know, go through your emotions on Sunday as a whole, through the game, How you felt. I know you felt dejected at the end. You know, you were quite sad at the end there. I felt like I could give you a hug, but I just couldn't, man. Christy hopefully gave you a hug because you really looked sad.
No, it was wild end to the season, I think. Obviously, I think it was in December where I came onto the show and I said, I'm convinced Liverpool will win three trophies. But then obviously with the whole quadruple talk, as soon as that became a reality or possibility rather, then I just decided, you know what, I'm not going to say anything other than a quadruple because I don't want the universe to hear that. Unfortunately, the universe heard an incredible Man City comeback instead of a quadruple, and that's kind of what it was within a space of 15 minutes. So it's crazy that, I know Sedlaw's tired of me saying this, but I mean, it's obviously the closest the side's ever come so far to doing it in terms of being involved in every game of the season, having every possibility of winning all four trophies. And in that sort of instance, they were, what, 15 minutes away? Obviously, they still had to turn things around. I think if we have to be really pedantic, and I keep talking about, you know, the universe aligning and making sure all the stars are in the right place at the right time, I think the thing that didn't go Liverpool's way on the weekend was them conceding early. I think that obviously would have sent nice waves or shock waves to the Etihad. I think had Liverpool scored early and that meltdown of the 2-0 goals, you know, them suffering on their side had happened.
Yeah.
I think, or even after they conceded those goals, we had got one earlier. I think things might have been a bit different. It just took too long from our side. The tired legs did eventually kick in, and Wolves actually, they put up a great fight and we had to really work hard for it. I mean, Wolves could have been 3-1 up at halftime. Obviously, with a few changes. I also think the big difference was not having Van Dijk there. Matip and Konate haven't had many games together, and that showed. Thiago came off at halftime, which also wasn't great. So, in the end, they still got the result done, 3-1. Salah came off the bench. Obviously, we saw that meme moment where he came off. He thought he had won it for Liverpool, and there's a fan in the crowd saying, no, Man City are up, and all of a sudden his face is got the long face.
He was like, the guy was like...
Yeah.
So, I was like, yeah, but no, man, that was really funny. But I think you are right. I think definitely in a game like that, where there's another team playing, the pressure, you know, going back and forth, you know what I mean? And obviously, the crowd knows what's going on at the Etihad. The crowd knows what's going on at Anfield, you know, and they obviously play on that. You know, for instance, obviously Liverpool went down, I could see in the second minute, Etihad was jumping up and down, you know, they were happy, you know, they didn't know what's going to be happening in the first half, that they're also going to be conceding a goal in the first half. So when they also conceded, their mood went down. And then when Liverpool, got the equalizer, that still meant that Man City were going to win the league, because then it was going to be a matter of goal difference, right? That was going to be a goal difference issue. And I think they were still okay with the 1-0, feeling that, okay, cool, maybe we can still get a victory. But I think when things turned, you know, when it was a 2-0, there was a lot of pressure. And yeah, a lot of Man City fans have been seeing that they say that Zinchenko changed the game. Zinchenko and Gundogan and Sterling changed the game, the substitutes that were made. Wonga, what did you make of the final day? Obviously, I don't know what games you were watching. I know you had load shedding. I don't know if you were watching any games. But what did you make of the final 30 minutes of the season, especially those two games?
Yeah, bro, it was hectic for me. I mean, I did manage to watch the first bit, and then I was driving back. I think when it started, I was driving back to Pretoria, and I had my flash score on there, and I saw City 1-0 down. I said, you know, I was waiting for this thing to, you know, because usually usually if it's VAR, it tells you that, you know, VAR correction, you know, and I'm still waiting for the correction. And I said, no, it's still 1-0. I said, no, this can't be happening. No, it can't be happening. Seriously, this can't be happening. Then the second goal went in. Ah, my goodness, I was losing my mind. Stressing, so I went back, got to the halves. And then, yeah, I had Liverpool supporters down here. They wanted me to watch the game with them. Some of the guys are still with me, and I'm like, nah, there's no ways. So, apparently there was noise when Liverpool were going up and winning. But, yes, when I saw Man City, take it back, I mean, those last two goals, Kevin De Bruyne, again, well deserved. He showed it again. I mean, he cemented that Player of the Season award. That last goal doesn't happen without him there. I mean, he's rushed to that ball. You can see, like, the desire in his heart to get that ball. I mean, you could even see the way he was playing those last 5 minutes, is that you know, there's a sense of urgency, you know, something that my team lacks. But you know, he's gone, he's taken the ball, two touches, and you know, Kevin De Bruyne is not a man of many touches. He's taken three touches, the ball's across there, and Gundogan finishes it. It was hectic, man. It's crazy. You'd almost think that Pep Guardiola was like, hey guys, look, you know, this is Aguero's 10-year, isn't it? It was a 10-year anniversary since Aguero scored that goal, you know. And they're like, you know, we have to make it all fitting. Let's go down 2-0, you know. Let's go down 2-0. Well, let's wait for 80 minutes and then we'll take it there to make another memorable moment. And guys, for me, it was flippin' memorable. That was one hell of a way to finish the season.
Yes, I just want to acknowledge the gentlemen that have commented. Jason saying, Stevie G slipping again. and then Sam saying, very thrilling final day, perhaps one of the best. Yes. And then Sam again, he has to obviously throw in the punches there. There was so much excitement at other stadiums, people didn't even notice United's poor result. Yes, Sam, we didn't notice that. We were focusing on other things. I think obviously we now looking at Man City, four league titles in five seasons. Where do you rank them as, you know, in terms of the great Premier League sides, you know, in terms of an invincibles, in terms of the treble winning Man United team, in terms of Jose Mourinho's Chelsea team, where do they rank amongst those other teams that we speak of? Claudio?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I mean, when you're looking at it just from a Premier League standpoint, I mean, what, Man United have 13 titles to their name. I think now Man City officially have 6, obviously because of the last 4 that Pep's collected. I think this side is as great as the competition chasing them down, and I think that's what's made this team even better. They're great, man. I think the difference between them and Liverpool right now since 2018 is 1 point. I think it's 256 points, or they're separated by 1 point. Man City are currently sitting on 256 points and Liverpool on 255. I mean, the fact that they're able to edge it out and come back the way they did and just, you know, regardless of not playing well, still getting the results across the line, rather, I think it's incredible. I don't know, like, in terms of ranking them, it's a bit tricky, but they definitely got to be up there with regards to one of Fergie's great teams. I would say Mourinho had his great spells, but I don't know, in terms of what metric we're looking at, how much money being spent, it's a difficult one for me to look at when I'm comparing. Obviously, this is me being bitter, full-on bitter Liverpool fan, when I'm looking at what Klopp's done with the resources. And just losing out by 1 point, but you still got to give it to.
I saw the resources. Actually, someone did send me the picture in terms of the resources, and the resources is basically, I think it's 467 spent by Man City, and then 322 spent by Liverpool. So about £140 million difference in the time frame you were talking about, sort of the 1 point
difference.
Is that
net? Is that net or is that gross?
That's gross. That's just spend expenditure. Yeah. That's how much both teams have spent. Not about sales and everything. Just how much both teams have spent. So it's 140. Wow. So it's a Jack Grealish and a Kyle Walker difference.
But also remember that money spent by Liverpool is normally only money that they receive in, and that's why net's very important. It's not like a bottomless pit that they just get to spend out. So if you're looking at that and you're saying, yeah, cool, it's 100 million, but it's actually not really. But I mean, at the end of the day, whatever Pep wants, he gets. And, you know, credit to him because he gets the player. And, I mean, let's look at a Grealish, for example. Grealish obviously came in for 100 million. This isn't by far, by his standard, a great season for him. It was him gelling with the squad. But, I mean, what a luxury that as a manager you can sign a player for 100 million and you know you're not necessarily going to get the best out of him. You're going to bench him. And you can bet him in slowly. So, I mean, you know, that's where I think it's a bit tricky. But still, what he's done is incredible. For back-to-back, especially when you got, I mean, you look at the previous season that you've commented, it was already 12, 10 points. So the fact that Liverpool came back and pushed them again the way they did was incredible. And, yeah, the fact that they've held on to it is it's pretty good. I don't know, when you compare them and you compare what they've won in general, where would you guys put them in comparison? Because I know the league is something they're comfortable on. They're building that legacy. They're building that club that they need to be. But yeah, where would you rank them?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always tough. It's always tough to rank such teams. As you said, you know, I think obviously there's also different areas of Premier League, you know. You know, the fact that now teams are continuously going above the 90-point mark, it shows it shows the level of competition, you know, that you're pushing each other, you know. I think back in the day as well, there were other factors, and also the squad qualities weren't what they are now. You know what I mean? I think this, you know, you had a good 11 and a good bench, you know, but not a good second 11, for instance, right? Back in the day. Now you've got a first 11 and a second 11. So it actually shows you how competitive it is. It's a whole squad game. It's not a 14-man game. It's a 22, 25-man game. Where, you know, your Man City's Zinchenko's contributing, you know what I mean? Your Fernandinho's, even though he's not playing every single game, there is moments where he came in to solidify matches. You know, your Liverpool, you know, there are players, or Harvey Elliott, they had their moments that they contributed. Origi also leaving now, he contributed, you know, with the goals. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a goal against Wolves that he scored, away at Molineux. It was a 1-0 victory that you guys, won, you know. Origi scored the goal in the dying minutes of the game when you guys would have drawn that game. So it shows how big of a squad game it is now. But yeah, I think definitely we need to start talking about Man City as potentially one of the great Premier League sides. You know, obviously, you know, I think the Manchester United, as I alluded to, I think on Sunday, Claudio, is that Man United team of the treble. And then the Man United team that with Tevez and Ronaldo and Rooney that won the Champions League and the Premier League, but they won three Premier League titles in a row, which Man City haven't done as yet. Man City has only done two in a row, and obviously four in five, which is obviously, I think, phenomenal. But let's see what they do next season. I think if they can possibly win a Premier League and a Champions League in the same season, I definitely think that they are neck and neck. As I think if someone can say that they're the best Premier League side ever, if next season they win like a Premier League and a Champions League in the same season, I wouldn't say no.
Well, again, like the reason I'm asking about the metric is when you're looking at it, technically on paper, they have to be considered the best ever. When you're just looking at points collected, I mean, they've won in 17-18, it's 100 points that they're sitting on. Obviously, 18-19 was 98 points. And now the total that they've received now. But what's quite interesting is that and this is also what's bizarre in terms of the standard and the quality that we're talking about, is Liverpool, a team that finished second, and they've achieved more points in terms of what Man United and Chelsea were achieving in the Premier League. That's also where the standard of football is. So for Man City to do what they've done, surely they've got to be in that bracket then, if not number one.
No, yeah. Definitely. They've eclipsed the Invincibles. They've eclipsed Jose Mourinho's Chelsea. Look at Wonga's face. But yeah, Wonga, what do you have to say? I think you just obviously pulled a face there. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if someone...
So have they eclipsed the Invincibles?
Look, I think, for me, I'd like to look at it, like Claire was saying, holistically. I'd like to look at it and put it down, and it would be nice to actually write something about this, because all these factors need to be put into play in terms of the money and everything. If you're looking at it just from plain sight, you could say, not placing them anywhere, that, yes, Man City are definitely one of the best teams in the Premier League. You can even see that just by the way they play. Never mind the trophy, never mind the amount of Premier League that they won. But to rank them and to give them the spot, I think it needs to be deserved. It needs to be earned. And I think you definitely have to look at like what Claudio was saying. You have to look at all those things that play a factor, because the money is a big factor. And yeah, when you're doing it, you have to sort of justify how much of a factor it is, because not everyone's getting the same budget. And I mean, on that last point, I mean, you guys made there, I mean, Arsenal, I just heard Arsenal's Arteta saying that they've managed to get more points than Chelsea did last season. But we still never made the Champions League. So yeah, okay. It just shows every year. No, I'm just saying, like, every year.
It's based on how every season is. It's not based on anything else. You know, I think it's just based on that. If the season gives you a champion with 85 points, then the season gives you a champion at 85 points. But if the season gives you a champion at 99 points,
I'm saying this in terms of the difficulty of the league this season. I'm saying the difficulty of the league this season.
It's heavy. No, definitely. It's the Premier League, you know what I mean? It keeps getting better and better and better and better. Just want to shout out to Louis there. Well done, Louis, being a Man City fan in our supporters. Well done, Louis. I spoke to him Monday morning. He gave me a call. He sent me a message over Skype, over on one of the work platforms. I thought this guy was going to talk about work. He's like, yo, bro, yo, I just recovered from yesterday. I'm thinking this guy's going to talk about work, but he was so nervous. He's obviously happy. Sam is saying, while you're on it, guys, name one team that you consider have turned heads around this season of the EPL. So the surprise team. We'll come back to that. Just want to greet Aman. How's it, Aman? You were at Anfield. You were watching the game for us. And then Arjun, how's it going? And then Pums as well. So we've got all the regulars in this evening. Okay, Sam has said that his surprise team is Brentford. They defeated Chelsea, gave Chelsea a good run for their money. They defeated Arsenal. Not that it matters.
Just a big one.
More positive results in their first season. Do you guys agree with Sam's comment there, saying that Brentford is the surprise team for the season?
Yeah, I mean, that was my initial thought, but then I gave it a little bit more thought. Well, obviously, it was simmering there. Then I've got to go with Newcastle, just in terms of the turnaround that Eddie Howe has done. It's phenomenal. True, I think after Man City, Liverpool, and I think it's Spurs, Newcastle came in fourth with regards to since he's come into Newcastle. So in terms of that's total points collected. So I think Eddie Howe and Newcastle definitely, for me, I think that's the team that, and also makes everyone wonder what's going to happen next season. Also makes you question, oh shit, you know, the possibility of them becoming the next Man City is definitely on the cards if they keep going that way.
No, definitely. I see them going to the top six, possibly next season. Let's say top seven, definitely. Wonga, what's your surprise team for the season?
No, I agree with Claudio. Actually, I almost forgot about them. But yeah, they, if you look at, the run of results, you saw them at home. Brentford, yeah, they beat those teams. But, after a while, you saw they dropped form. But as soon as Eddie Howe got there, it was one way, and it was up. And their home ground was a place you did not want to go. Liverpool almost lost some valuable points there when they went there. Arsenal, flipping through, gave them the points. I don't know why. But, yeah, place you didn't want to go.
I think there's two other special mentions, though. Like, West Ham needs to get thrown in there, because who knows, if they weren't competing in Europe, maybe they could have gotten top four if they had focused on that. And I think maybe Brighton as well. I think Brighton did the job there, Graham Potter. They were quite, they had a good second half of the season too. They started off well, fell off a bit. But yes, yeah, go ahead.
I think Palace is definitely another team to also talk about. I think obviously the brand of football that they were playing, they beat an Arsenal. They beat a Man City as well. So they definitely aside. I think, Man City, who beat Man City this season? You know what I mean? Palace, So Man City only lost three games, guys. So Tottenham beat them and then Palace also beat them. So obviously that I give them a shout as well. But it shows you the competitiveness of the league, that we've got certain teams that have actually, were giving, the tougher sides a run for their money. So I want to touch on what Aman is saying. He got excited for Claudio because someone spread a rumor that it was 3-3 in the City game, but it was false. Claudio, just chat to us about that little moment on Sunday where you're like, what's happening at the Etihad? Guys, check the Etihad.
Yeah, there's, Aman, if you want to go have a look at it, it's on the show, it's on the live stream. You can literally see my reaction to when I see the fans getting excited and then I tell, because I only had one screen available that I was watching. So I was like, "Hello, Matt, check what's going on in the other game? What's going on in the other game?" And then it was fake news. It was fake news. So not wasn't too happy.
Sorry about that, my brother. Sorry about that, my brother. But yeah, we've spoken enough about Man City and Liverpool and yeah, the title race. I think now
we so just to
Wong.
No, something interesting that happened. I heard who was telling me. Actually, forgot who told me. But some lady put a. Oh yes, I remember something. They put a. She put £100 bet on Liverpool to win the season. To win the treble. And I think when City were up 2-0, the cash out they gave her, because I think the thing was worth £1.1 million. Yeah. And they gave her a cash out because they were actually talking to her now, literally communicating to her, and they were telling, okay, we're giving her this. She declined, gave her this much. Then they asked her to cash out at, I think it was £90 something. And she declined it. No, 90,000. Yeah, 98,000 pounds. Yeah. And she declined it. And then Man City started the comeback of note.
And she lost 90,000. I would have taken that money, guys.
Yeah.
I had,
that's what it was, yeah.
Money you can see is rather money you can take. And then okay, yes, £1 million, a great amount. But yeah, as I said, we're going to jump on to Spurs just securing fourth. I think we just want to just chat briefly about them. You know, the representative isn't here. But what do you guys make of Conte and his time at Spurs so far? You know, I think obviously they've done really well. They've obviously secured fourth spot, and got quite a number of points in terms of since he came through, and yeah, the brand of football that they were playing, you know, free flowing, and yeah, they obviously snuck into the top four by beating Arsenal and then making sure that they won other games. Wonga, let me start with you because obviously this is your rival.
I don't know. I don't enjoy talking nice things about Spurs, but I can't lie to you. Flipping out, but I don't even know. I genuinely don't enjoy this. Yeah, look, I mean, they took it from us. I mean, Conte is a good coach. To me, it's more painful than anything else, to be honest with you, Silo. But I think if you're looking at, I mean, Conte, they, obviously, they've definitely wanted. This is probably the best thing Spurs could have got from how they started the league. Good response. It's a good response for them. I think now, obviously now, the question is, will they keep a Conte? I think that's for me now the question that Spurs left to answer. And obviously, if Conte wants to stay, he's gonna need some backing. He's gonna want financial backing from the manager. He's gonna want to change a few things. That's for sure.
No, definitely. Just before I ask you, Claudio, I think there's just some comments here. Comments are flying in from everyone. Pums, okay, we'll touch on what Pums has asked, but Sam saying Arsenal for the shock result for Wonga was Arsenal. For Wonga, the way they gave away, to their favorite London rivals at the very end. So that's a shock result. Sam is saying to you. And then Louis Murray says that he thought Claudio was having a stroke on Sunday when that 3-3 rumor flying around. and then Sam
was coming in that. I chose that whole second off. My whole buddy, I don't know, my buddy was doing things.
Yeah. And then Sam saying, Sule has so much confidence on City, he would have taken the money, so that cash out, I would have taken that £90,000. You can hear the pain of the voice of Wonga while talking about Spurs. And then Pum saying, Spurs deserve fourth. But Claudio, what do you think of Spurs, you know, just in terms of Conte and what he's done there? Obviously, there's already rumors of the fact that he's looking to sign 6 players for next season so that he can challenge for the Premier League and then also obviously give the Champions League a good go.
Yeah, and Sky Sports have come out saying Daniel Levy's going to back him with at least £150 million for this transfer window.
Wow.
So I think when we're looking at it, you got to go. I know, look, a top four finish is big for any club in the Premier League, but I think in the context of where Arsenal and Tottenham are right now, I think it was actually a bigger sort of ending for Spurs than it was for Arsenal. Spurs don't get this top four spot. You know, there's all the rumors and talk about Conte leaving. Where are they next? Who do they get to replace the seat? Forget about projects. They need a trophy as in yesterday. That's why they brought in Mourinho, and that's why they got Conte. So they need to throw the kitchen sink and whatever they can give this man, because he can deliver and he will deliver on something. They just need to give him the resources, and that's what top four was for them. I think Arsenal, and Wonga can speak for this, despite it being so painful for Arsenal fans seeing it, they are still in a spot where they can give Arteta a little bit more time, and they're hopeful around the project, I would like to think, Wonga. And you can touch on that. But Tottenham, it was crucial. No fourth spot, and they would have been in dire straits. At least now there's a plan for the next 2-3 years. Because we know Conte might win the league end of the season, and he might decide he's over it. But at least then they've done something. So, yeah, that's where my thoughts are for them. But, I mean, strong finish. And Son, I think the question around Son, and I mentioned this on the weekend, I'm not sure why the man's so underrated. And one guy also asked you that question. Gentlemen, yes. What are your thoughts here?
He's very much underrated, man. Very underrated. He wasn't even nominated for Player of the Season. Why wasn't he nominated for Player of the Season, guys?
What must he do?
More goals than Kane.
He scored 23 goals, no penalties, guys. No penalties in the 23 goals he scored. And he didn't get a
nomination. I think they wanted him to hit 40 assists as well. He must have hit 40 assists.
Bloody hell.
But no, it's nonsense, guys. The guy's probably the only guy I know in the Premier League right now who really can left foot, right foot. You know, it's literally the same. Goal out the box, in the, like, it's, there's no ways. How can he not be there? How can he not be there?
He's a good player, man.
Nah, he's a good player, good player. Definitely makes any side in the world. You can make the starting three. Any side in the world. But so, I don't know.
Would you not even, like, I suppose, I mean, Spurs, Man City win the league and all the talk about them being the greatest team, blah, 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 whatever. But I mean, take what he's done for Spurs this season, getting them into Champions League. Should that not even be in contention with regards to what Kevin De Bruyne did? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, why is it so head and shoulders above the rest that Kevin De Bruyne was the standout favorite versus a player like Son? I'm confused by that. Do you have an answer?
You know, Claudio. I told you, recency bias, man. Recency bias. The eyes see the fact that De Bruyne scored 4 goals in one game and came alive in the second half of the season. People are forgetting the fact that Salah was bloody the best player in the world for 4 months, right? Cool, yes, he's not done it the whole season. But what's different from him having a great first half of the season to De Bruyne having a great second half of the season? Is it just because De Bruyne is doing well towards the awards and Salah was doing well towards Christmas and AFCON and then obviously he just fell off a bit there? But, you know, I think that they both kind of have had, you know, moments in the season where they were exceptional, and I don't think that that De Bruyne was better than Salah or even better than Son. I think Son definitely should have gotten this award. He basically kind of took Tottenham to a top four, if we can put it like that. I think we definitely need to stop this thing of just looking at the guy who's won the league or the guy who's about to win the league, because guys, Son was exceptional this season.
Yeah,
Wonga. And what do you think, Wonga? Do you think Son should have won the Player of the Season?
Yeah, look, I think given what you're saying, I think definitely. He did deserve a right to win it. I don't want to also underplay what De Bruyne has done as well. I think I did mention it that he's number after the, I think he's number 5 top goal scorer. And he's a midfielder. He's number what? I think there's who's ahead of him. It's Salah. It's Salah, Ronaldo.
Salah doesn't consider himself a striker, by the way.
So Son is there.
No, but he's saying playing.
But he's up there. He's up. That's his job. That's his job. Salah's there to score the goals. But yeah, look, I hear what you're saying, and I agree that. The fact that Son was not even mentioned in there, you know, that for me is
Mane was also left off that list. But I suppose similar to what you're saying, when you're looking at it, it's how you finish the race, isn't it? No one remembers.
Who's in the list?
Mane finished the race.
Who's in the list?
Mane for me was the best Liverpool player since AFCON. You know, AFCON. You know, he woke up. He showed us his talent. That AFCON gave him the energy to obviously say, hey, Flip, I actually can still do this type of thing and actually lead the way for Liverpool. Scored crucial goals. Amen. But no, Wonga, we'll come back to the list in some time now. But let's just touch on the relegation battle. Leeds survived. Rafinha scored a crucial penalty. Then, you know, it was 1-1 in that game at a certain point in time. And Newcastle were leading 2-1 against Burnley. If Burnley scored a goal and the Leeds game stayed 1-1, Burnley would have stayed up, guys. We would have had this headache of a pub team still next season. We would have had to go to Turf Moor and bloody well hell get... That place is also cold. It's a very cold part of the UK. But yeah, thank God that Leeds managed to get through and even eventually get a second goal in the 96th minute. Just touch on the fact that, guys, what do you guys think of Burnley? You know, Burnley's now definitely out. They've had a good run in the Premier League, quite a sustained run in the Premier League. Yes, they were out for one season, but they came back right up. What do you guys think of Burnley? Do you think they'll come back straight up?
Look, it depends. And I think, do they keep the players that they have as well? It would be a huge factor on that, and I don't think, I agree with Charlie in terms of no. At least now they go down. We've got who's coming up? I think Fulham is one team coming up. And at least they also, we know they're also trying to play in,
football.
You know, they play proper football. It's not someone who's going to just sit back. So that'll be interesting to see them as well in the Premier League. But I'm not saying it's going to help them, but, at least they're going to try to get some goals.
What do you think about Burnley? Do you think they can come straight back up?
I think they're like Fulham.
They're
in an interesting time. It's going to be a struggle for them, largely because the guy who bought the club bought them out on loan, so he was very dependent on the money he was getting from the Premier League. Obviously, we know these parachute payments is a big loss now, so they're going to have to sell off a couple of their better players. We all are excited that they are out of the league for a couple of reasons. One, we know that every weekend there was a game at Burnley. It was one team sitting deep, looking for a long ball, very Sam Allardyce-esque type of football. But we still got to commend them for what they were able to achieve with regards to the constraints they had. But we are glad they are gone. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad, especially Jurgen Klopp. It's always struggled against the Burnley side in the past, so that's good. They must get out of it. That's all I've got to say, really.
That's cool. Oh, that's perfect, guys. So just to wrap up but I think, guys, if you can, I know it'll be tough, guys. I don't know if you how much thought you put into this, because obviously I sent this to all of you guys before today's show. Just give me your Premier League team of the season. Don't have to qualify it. Don't have to tell me a story about each player. Just tell me your team of the season. And tell me which formation you're playing. That's all. Also, guys, in the comments, please do the same. Team of the season and formation, right? Just tell us team of the season and formation. So you can't say you have two defenders and 2-7-1 or something like that. No, guys, you gotta have 3 or 4 defenders, 3 or 4 midfielders, 3 or 2 attackers. You gotta obviously decide that you can't have 4 attackers. You can't have a Son, a Salah, a Kane, and a Ronaldo in the same team, guys. That don't make sense at all.
Instead of us answering this right now, do you want to pose the question to the people, and then we can have a consolidated list for the Thursday, and we can actually show our...
Okay, we could do that. So everyone in the comments, please post your team of the season in the comments, and then we'll use that as a consolidated list for Thursday's show. So everyone is in the comments... Post it in the comment section now. You can actually post it anytime between now and the end of the show, so you can think about it if you need to think about it. But just post it, and Claudia will collate it, and then kind of see who's the most common denominator across those team of the season, and that will be the Goal Lounge TV team of the season.
Yeah, is that cool? I like that. That's cool.
The most popular choices. So if, for instance, if Allison is times and Edison has chosen 3 times, that means Allison is the best keeper.
And Ramsdale chosen 5 times.
That means Ramsdale is the best keeper. That's fair. Just quickly, guys, just before we jump on to other football matters, where to next for your team? Wonga, I would like to just hear your thoughts firstly, and then Claudia, and then I can obviously just do my little one-liner about my team.
Yeah, so look, I think Arsenal, we just have to keep on building. I think they've done well this season to be where they are, even though I'm not really happy with the result. But if you look at it rationally, it is better than what you did last season. I hear that there's talk of, not that there's talk, William Saliba definitely coming back into our...
He wants to play Champions League football, and Marseille have just... I've qualified for Champions League.
I know, but I this is what I'm hearing as well. I'm hearing this from sources that are saying that he wants to come back, and I think that's why maybe these guys were very happy with. They were excited when they were like this close to making the Champions League, because it would have been then easier to bring a guy like Saliba back. You know, it was a tricky one to also send him there, but that's out of the
he won best young player.
Well deservedly. And he played very well. I mean, some of the games that he played, maybe I only saw the games he played well in, but yeah, I think I was excited. I mean, I kept the games I watched. I said, I look at the guys we have, a Ben White, and I look at a holding, I say, oh my goodness me. Someone's doesn't either have eyes or they don't know how to identify talent. Because, I mean, if you play that guy week in, week out, I'm pretty sure we would have done better than most. But anyways, let me not go off topic here. Then there's this talk about Jesus, the Gabriel Jesus thing. It looks like Arsenal, yes, are interested in him. But then guess who wants to pop their head in there and try and get him? Tottenham. Why the hell do you want why the heck do they want him for? No. They must chill. They just, I think what Tottenham was...
But Wonga, you do know that Conte was playing a 3-5-2 last season, right? At Inter. So he was playing a Lautaro Martinez together with a Lukaku. So, you know, Harry Kane and Jesus does actually work.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to get him because he's a good striker, and then they want him because Arsenal's also getting him a ticket. So like a 2 pound, so it's like you're hitting two birds with one stone. They must chillax. But I'm worried
for you though, man, because if Spurs are coming in after a player, I don't think Arsenal are going to have what it takes to hang on, because they got Conte, they're going to have the money just to persuade any player right now, and they've got Champions League. I think it's going to be tough going for Arsenal.
Yeah, it will be, but I think it's not going to be impossible. That's the honest truth. Liverpool also, when they were picking up, managed to sign some good players. Sadio Mane wasn't doing what he was a good player, but he wasn't doing what he was doing before he came to Liverpool. Salah the same as well, not doing exactly what he was doing before he came to Liverpool. I think Liverpool bought the right players to do the job. Trent coming from the youth academy. So if they're all doing, like for me, if they get like a Van Dijk as well, no one really like, yeah, you look at him, but he wasn't that, you know, people would not think that it was that sort of an impact player when they got him. So I think if Arsenal as well, if they're looking and buying the right players, make the right signings, then we can do it. I mean, just one example to finish it. We signed who was this guy now? Oh, I completely forgot his name. No, it was when what's his name was there.
He's playing at the post.
Yeah, when what's his name was there, we signed this a Louis. It was a Danny Suarez. Danny Suarez, you know, he was a good. They hyped him, and I saw him as soon as he touched the ball. I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, who the hell signed this player? And lied about him as well. But anyways, yeah, that's sort of the thing. I mean, they got to make the right signings, and I think we headed the right way.
Claudio, where to next for your team? Obviously, you still have one more game to play this season, which is kind of nice, because then at least, you know, you win it. Going into next season, you've got you know, three trophies in the cabinet, which in looking back at your history, this would have been your most successful season. You know, obviously, yes, there's no Premier League, but you know, winning a continental championship and then obviously winning the FA Cup is something that you guys haven't even done in a while, but definitely kind of gives you impetus for the next season.
Yeah, the last time they won a treble was in 2001 with Gerard Houllier, and that wasn't the same. It was the League Cup, FA Cup and UEFA. Yeah, so this will outdo that and do that team. Cheers, Wonga. Wonga's disappeared there, ladies and gentlemen. But nonetheless, so Liverpool, as you said, you've already touched on the fact this season's not over for us. So as other teams are trying to regroup and start planning for the next season, Liverpool are still focused on this week to come. Obviously, some players are already injured and some players aren't coming back. Divock Origi is one of them. He's already said his goodbyes. So that's a big loss for us moving forward in terms of the squad player. But overall, we should be fine this weekend without him, but his spirit will count. So that's quite a nice thing about having him still around there.
I thought you said he won't be available this weekend.
No, he's not available. He's not. He's actually got an injury, so he's out completely. Oh, he's so injured. He will be there. Okay. So yeah, so
who's this, sorry?
Divock Origi. Yeah, but I mean, the chances of him playing anyway, he would have just been that gamble off the bench if things weren't going our way. So from Liverpool's perspective, I think we're looking good. We're in a good position right now. They might add one or two. They've already added the young boy from Fulham, the Portuguese-English boy, Fabio. So that's another player that they're looking to build for the future. So we've got a good core squad. And I think that the signing of Diaz, we've already spoken about it to length and in terms of the impact he's given the Liverpool squad. But I think you're not going to have the issues Liverpool have had previously. I mean, coming into this season, I said Liverpool would finish second, largely because of the previous season's performances, and they needed to find their feet again. Now I think it is without doubt that Liverpool will be competing again next season. It will be Man City and Liverpool will be there again. And I think it's just dependent on whether or not they do want to tap into their resources and sign one player that could change things up. But right now I think the squad is good as it is. And I think it's only going to get stronger when you look at the likes of Konate at the back playing with Matip, and he's going to have a second full season. So yeah, Liverpool find themselves in a good way.
Just one question on that. Obviously, we know that contracts are coming up, or in terms of they are going into their final years. A Salah and a Mane's contracts are going to their final years. And I'm not sure, was Henderson's one sorted? I don't know if Henderson's one was sorted, but just those three players, if Henderson's one was sorted, then it's okay. But I know Mane's and Salah's are not sorted.
Bobby,
what happens there? And Bobby Firmino, you know, then what happens with those three players, you know, and or four if Henderson's not sorted yet?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose no one's spoken much about that. Largely because the Champions League's still there, and that is the worry, because other teams are sniffing around. Bayern Munich, PSG have been linked with Mane, and you've spoken about his impact already. Mane has joined the... Hey, Wonga, what are you doing there, Chief?
No, sorry, man, my ears are itchy.
Yo, bro. Anyway. But with regards to... Just fix it, because the sound's a bit...
This is what happens with live streaming. But live streaming, you know, you hear the sound.
It's still sorry now. Everything. Something happened.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, like I was saying there, Silas, with regards to Mane, we know the impact he's had at the club. And for me, he's been my favorite Liverpool player since he's been there. And also, because when he's not there, you see the huge effect. So it is going to be a worry with regards to what's happening, not happening. But he likes staying in the shadow. I think with regards to the Salah, we can afford to lose a Salah. I know it sounds. I'm saying this very casually. Yeah, well, Liverpool can't afford to lose a Salah. Yeah. But the thing is, if they do lose a Salah, they will find a like-for-like replacement. And also, the question will then be thrown at players like Salah and Mane: is that, well, what have the other guys that have left Liverpool gone to do on free transfers? What has Gini done? He's gone to sit bench at PSG. What has Emre Can done? He went to Juventus only to go to Dortmund. Now he's not getting game time. What's happened to Coutinho? So, I mean, that is definitely the thing that will linger over these players. And, I mean, Klopp's famous comment going, if you stay at Liverpool, you can have a statue to Coutinho. So that's something that will linger there. I do think Salah will see out another season. I think Mane is the one I think I'm more worried about than Salah, to be honest. But I see them staying. But Bobby is the one that is likely to hang around and then leave, because he's on the periphery now, but he's still integral to the squad because he gives us something different. Because the other players are like for like. Luis Diaz, Jota. Jota's a great player for the future. Great in the final third, but he's not as good technically in terms of building up play. And that's actually what we miss when he does start. And that's why he doesn't start as much, and he always gets taken off. So, yeah.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair. No, definitely some great insights there, guys. You know, we always give you great insights into our teams, you know. Just something that Pums has alluded to. Chelsea just needs to process the sale. Yeah, that's a team obviously that's kind of in limbo right now. They need to get a new defense. Christensen's going to Barcelona. Rüdiger's going to Real Madrid, and it seems like Alonso's also going to go to Real Madrid. And potentially Azpilicueta also going to Barcelona. So you could potentially have three of their defense going to Barcelona, and then Rüdiger going to Real Madrid. So they would have
and
to
they can't sign
defense.
Anyone.
They can't sign anyone. You know what I mean? Which is obviously then it's a big problem for Chelsea. So. They've got a lot of problems there in terms of their squad. You know, they probably might have to utilize their youth players and so on and so forth. They have a decent youth. You know, Chalobah has come from the youth. Tomori have come from the youth. Gay at Palace also come from the youth. So they do produce good players. Just sometimes they just don't manage to hang on to them. And then yeah, from my side, from a Man United perspective, way too for us. We've obviously got a new manager for this season. The manager's obviously come in. You know, he had his first press conference yesterday. So let's see what happens with him. He said some decent stuff. You know, there's people, you know, the media will always come out in certain ways and to kind of say certain things. They say that he doesn't know the challenge that awaits him, you know, type of thing. You know, I think obviously sometimes as well, they need to understand that this person doesn't speak English as his first language. And also when people articulate themselves, they'll articulate themselves on what they feel is what they're trying to say. So I think the proof will be in the pudding in terms of what happens next season. You know, Magic can say all, you know, all these great things or not say good things that, that sound right to you as a journalist, but also journalists always try to pick holes into what managers say, you know what I mean? They, that's their job. You know, they're always trying to make something out of nothing, write an article about it and say that Ten Hag is out of his depth, or Ten Hag doesn't know what he's doing, or Ten Hag doesn't want to greet the, doesn't want to stop for Sky Sports news interview or whatever, you know. But it's, yeah, that's the British media, you know. Yep. You know how they've taken some of Klopp's words and so on and so forth. And but yeah, that's that for the Premier League. But yeah, on Thursday we'll touch
but
on.
Still, wait. That was brief. What is your overall impression of his first press conference? You watching it live, or you watching it on YouTube or whatever bits you could watch?
No, it was good. No, it was good. The bits that I did catch, the quotes, I think it's good. I think he's he doesn't have a sense of humor, which is neither here nor there. I think he's obviously very much I don't want to say a disciplinarian, but I think obviously he's got his ways and he wants things done a certain way. And obviously I think he'll crack the whip in terms of certain players and certain things. I think, yeah, we definitely need to do an overhaul of the squad. In terms of, you know, I think there's probably about 10 players that could potentially leave, you know, including the free transfers and then those we can potentially sell. Yeah, if we can definitely make some sales from Eric Bailly, Jones and a Henderson, I think those are the and a Martial, I think those are the four maybe potentially we could make some money or, by selling them. And then there's the free transfer people, the free transfers who are going to leave, your Matic, Pogba, Lingard, your Cavani's. So those are leaving free transfer. There's no money there. So yeah, so let's see what we can do with our sales, and potentially bring in, if we can bring in about six players and integrate maybe like three of the youth players. I think if six plus three would be quite nice. Six signings and three of the youth coming through.
But Cello, you're talking a lot of technicalities there, and that's fair enough. But I suppose the question I'm asking is, after seeing him speak and knowing the man that he is there a feel good, a deep down feel good feeling?
No,
for you
definitely.
There?
No, there's a feel good. It's a fresh start, guys. It's a fresh start. You need to, you know, we finally have a coach who actually knows how to, you know, coach, you know, who's got tactics, you know, who's a proven winner. You know, we had an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, nostalgic former player. Yes, he had won in Norway, but he had done poorly with a Cardiff in Premier League, you know. So I think obviously he was too inexperienced for the Man United job. Yes, he did well in certain parts by beating Man City a couple of times and second place and so on and so forth. But he just reached the ceiling that we need the manager that has actually done well, gone to a Europa League final, gone to a Champions League semi-final, won a couple of Dutch, three Dutch titles, you know, in five seasons, you know. So someone is actually a proven winner in a side that's also, you know, there's a lot of demands with Ajax. You know, there's a high demand with Ajax in terms of what they need to be doing as a club in the Champions League and in the Eredivisie. So I think it's the right guy. I'm optimistic for next season. Definitely gonna be putting my full weight behind him. But also, let's also manage our expectations. We can't be going from sixth to number one. We can definitely go from sixth to top four, which is, I think, what he should be getting in the first season.
Wonga shaking his head.
You know what I love, but I love Claudio, is that Wanga's got this cockiness, but we're both in the Europa League. So I don't know. But yeah, guys, in other news on the continent, AC Milan have been crowned Serie A champions for the first time since 2011. You would have seen the celebrations all over social media, guys. I think you would, if you haven't seen it on social media, I don't know where have you been. And there's a video circulating of Zlatan in the changing room, making a speech in the changing room. But yeah, guys, I think this is what we call football heritage. One of the great European teams, the second most successful side in the Champions League, being on top of Italy again after 11 years of underachieving. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? You know, obviously, I didn't expect you guys to be watching Serie A every single week, but you would have known that AC Milan didn't come second last season.
Yeah, I think Milan, they I mean, like I said, it's 11 years, and I think that's it's a true showing. I mean, if a team has a plan, I mean, and you try to put things together, I mean, they've been trying for long, and I think they hit. I mean, there was that time they had Pirlo, Ronaldinho, David Beckham, Clarence Seedorf. We can name. I think Zlatan was even there as well. And then after those guys, Kaka, and after that happened, I'm naming people, there's Nesta, all of them, but they had a star-studded team, and then after that, went down, and yeah, they had their problems, but to see them come out of it, I think it's actually quite nice to see, you know. I mean, you could see everyone on all the owners and everyone else involved in the club, how happy people were even before the whistle had happened. It's nice to see like a whole everyone coming together. And I think all that struggle that everyone has gone through, I think that's what that was very nice. And even the way Milan has been playing, it's not a typical Italian side. You know, these things people defend. I mean, they've been playing some good football. Some of the games I've watched. Got that Rafael Leao also doing things there, but they've been playing very, very, entertaining, you could even say. Entertaining.
Shame, Wonga, there was a player linked to the Arsenal. Now he's being linked with Madrid. You can say goodbye to that transfer possibility.
Yeah, we'll see.
Claudio, what do you make of the resurgence of the Rossoneri first title in 11 years?
Yeah, I think Wonga's touched on the history and the days that we remember them, how great they were, Ancelotti being the man in the dugout. That's huge. But I think that the thing that stood out for me was that Zlatan video that you shared, Settle. Unbelievable that guy's still doing what he's doing. You can just see the impact that he has on the players around him and the fact that the coach has a player like that. And this is, I suppose, where Man United falls short with Ronaldo and the impetus he could have offered or he should be offering. And I think that's the thing Ten Hag should draw inspiration from and say, look at this player. He is a coach. He's not just a footballer that's going to help us, but he's going to get these guys behind the belief of what we're trying to achieve here. And that's what he brings to the team, is that mental sort of fortitude that isn't easy to come by. Unless you've gone there and you've seen the mountaintop, it's hard to get that sort of mindset. 100%. And that's what he's given them. And I think that's significant, played a significant role as to helping them get this across the line. It's huge.
Yeah, because he didn't even play that many games. Like last season, he played a lot more games than he did this season. But this season, it's just that, as you say, that leadership, that motivation on the sidelines. You know, when you can actually see his presence in that changing room, you know, when he says, hey, guys, everyone, come in, listen. Everyone keeps quiet and listens to what he's saying. You can see that's a proper leader. And yeah, I think it's obviously he dedicated the win to Mino Raiola, his former agent who sadly passed away. So yeah, that's great to see. So we've got AC Milan, champions of Italy. We've got Real Madrid, champions of Spain. We've got Man City, champions of England. We've got Paris Saint-Germain, champions of France. We've got, what's this team? We've got Bayern Munich, whatever that league is. only reason I say that is because, you know, guys, they've won it for the last 10 years or 10, I don't even know, 10 odd seasons. We're just gonna touch on the Mbappe staying at PSG. There was rumors that he was gonna be going to Real Madrid, and now, you know, things have turned around and he's gonna be staying at PSG. There's a lot of rumors about what's in it for him in terms of the potential contract. There's rumors of the fact that he's gonna have control over the side in terms of he can choose the next manager, he can choose he can decide on the sporting project, the ins and outs of the team. You know, those are just rumors. We don't know obviously how factual it is, but I can imagine there's some truth in terms of his influence on the club as a whole. And we all know that the president of France gave him a call as well to try and convince him. And a rumor has come out that Real Madrid made a prepayment of 40 million euros to Mbappe, that Mbappe now has to return back to Real Madrid. And now he says he's going to be calling Benzema to apologize to him, apparently. What do you guys make of the saga?
Yo, for me, look, at the end of the, I think at the end of the day, myself first, it's his choice. Can't say anything much about it. But I think I would have liked to see Mbappe do a bit dreadful. I mean, you know, a different challenge. Like, he's a good kid. And when I say that, I mean, like, in terms of footballing. And I would have liked to see that. But it's funny how I thought when I looked at the money that they were throwing at him, I think, a million a week, you know, it is like it is a 500,000 difference, it's double, you know. But you think, there's a point where money's just money. I mean, gee whiz. Now
Money's just money.
Yeah, like I can't believe it that has swayed him, you know, because I hear that, you know, he's saying that, look, it's a project he wants to be part of, wada, you know, it's for PSG. So all I'm going to do is sit back and see this project and see how PSG is going to become the best team in the world. I want to see it. That's what I want to see. And see
Claudio,
this money
Claudio, what do you make of this saga, man? Staying at a PSG, a league that's on the periphery, not even a top three league. What do you make of this?
I don't think we've ever seen this before, and I'd love to be corrected wrong if something like this has happened. But I mean, we talk about no player is bigger than a club, but in this case, PSG have made a case in point. This player is the club. He is the club. And I think that's a ridiculous place to be. And the only thing we could say, he's 23 years old. And if his family, his father's his agent, I mean, you're going to cash in at this age. We don't know what's going to happen down the line. He could, you know, something, I mean, touch wood, nothing tragic happens or anything like injury-wise, whatever.
Yeah.
But at this age right now, I suppose if the offer's on the table, you take it. So this is purely driven by financial sort of situation, or that's the decision there. I think if I'm Real Madrid, this is also the unfortunate position. If I'm Real Madrid, I'm going, this player's burnt his bridges, he's not coming back. The only unfortunate thing is the stardom that PSG, the money they're putting into him and his brand, he is going to be the biggest athlete in the world, if not the biggest, just based on image alone. Okay. So, I mean, there's going to be a time.
You'll be the biggest active player after Messi and Ronaldo retire.
Exactly. 100%. And that's the thing. So, Real Madrid, he knows exactly. If he just keeps going the way he's going, Madrid will always be there. And that's the scary thing you can still mess around a club like that, but you're in such a situation that you know they're still going to come back for more. And that's the thing. I think it's frustrating for us as football fans because we want to see him do something different. We want to see him really test his talent and see, is he really as good as what he is? You know, we know he can do it for France. France is case in point, fantastic team, fantastic players. We know PSG, it's a walk in the park for him. So can he do it? Like, could you imagine him going to the Premier League? We know what Haaland's going to do now. We're going to test Haaland at the highest level. Haaland's going to come into the Premier League and he's going to tear it up. But the thing is Mbappe, would he be able to do the same thing? That's the question.
No, definitely. I think, we want to see the best players in the best leagues. And for us, I think, you know, we look at La Liga and the Premier League as the two best leagues, you know, with the biggest clubs. You know, we look at Real Madrid, your Barcelonas, your Liverpools, your Man Cities, you know what I mean? These are the biggest clubs in the world. We want them to be playing in the best clubs. And yeah, good thing that Haaland is going to the Premier League, even though it's to Man City, but we want to obviously see him and test him and see, is he really as good as he's been at Salzburg and Dortmund.
I mean, Celo, this is a quick fire sort of answer. PSG right now, in your mind, in terms of where would you rank them, in terms of world's best teams, where would you put them right now? Quick fire.
They're not top five.
You see? You're not top five, but you're breaking the bank there, Chiefs.
They're not top five. You know what I mean? They're not top five. You know, I think if we look at them last season, they were top five. So because last season what happened was they lost the previous season they lost in the final, and then the next season they lost in the semifinal. So at that point they were top five, but now they've gone out of the top five for me. You know, I think, yeah, they let's see what happens. You know, your Man City, the guys in the Champions League semis, Bar, Villarreal, and then the Bayern, you know, I think, and I think those are the top teams. But yeah, guys, just to wrap up, we do have a small Anyana tournament that is taking place, the final tomorrow, guys. We have to mention it because Jose Mourinho is in the final. UEFA, Conference League final tomorrow between Roma and Feyenoord. Maybe you guys don't know it's happening tomorrow, but it is happening tomorrow. I did watch the Rangers Eintracht Frankfurt game, and I watched all the way to the penalties. And an Arsenal player missed the crucial penalty in Aaron Ramsey. We've got Roma versus Feyenoord. I was chatting to a mate of mine who's a Romanista, who actually happens to be in Rome right now. He's looking forward to the final. He just hopes that Roma can actually win this game because they haven't won much in recent history. What do you guys make of this? Obviously, you know, you might have not even watched the game in the Conference League. I haven't, surely. But I know that Roma's in the final against Feyenoord.
Yeah, look, for me, I give zero shits about this, to be honest. But I do know Mourinho's going to win it. He doesn't get to the final, and he doesn't lose. So, and also Feyenoord, Roma, technically speaking, if you take what the Serie A have gone through and what they've gone through in the Serie A, finishing sixth at the moment, finishing sixth this season, and you take Feyenoord, I don't care if Feyenoord won the league in Holland, it's still not as strong as, we know they didn't, but I'm just saying, if they did, I wouldn't care, because it's nowhere near as strong as what Serie A is panning out to be. So, you got Mourinho, you got Roma, you got Tammy Abraham, who scored the most goals ever in Serie A for an English player. I mean, they find themselves in a good way, and I'd be highly shocked if it doesn't go to them.
No, definitely. Wonga, what's your prediction?
Look, a Feyenoord, I agree with Claudio, you expect Roma to win it, but a Feyenoord, you can't overlook them, because I do know they are a goal-scoring team. And I know if you play against a goal-scoring team, it can always be difficult. They're not going to be sitting back. I think all Feyenoord knows what to do is play football and, go score the goals. Just like many of the teams in that Dutch league. I don't think it'll be as straightforward as we think it will be. I think Feyenoord have a fair chance of winning it, to be honest with you.
Okay. No, let's see what happens, guys. I think definitely a Roma victory is on the cards for tomorrow. Let's see what happens. We'll obviously maybe just say, you know, just highlight it on Thursday's show. But yeah, the special one is a special one for a reason. Tammy Abraham is on fire. I think he scored about 17 or 18 goals in that league. The other players have obviously contributed as well. Let's see what happens. Just before we wrap up, guys, any final thoughts from you guys before we wrap up? Wonga?
My final thought. I'm feeling a bit happy now. Like I was telling you guys in the beginning, that at least now there's no stress now. We can take a break. It's kind of sucks that the league is over. Actually, soccer's over. You have to now wait how many months for the World Cup? Oh my gosh, jeez. Yeah, so you're going to have to wait quite a while for that one as well. But yeah, I think it was a good season, and Man City made it that much more memorable. And I think Pep did it on purpose.
Listen to this guy. I think from my side, what a season. A Liverpool fan going in there. I've seen four finals. I'm going to see four finals to end the season that we did now. We've still got one more game to go, regardless of what happens. What a time to be a Liverpool fan. Super excited. So I'm going to end off by going, these are the champions. Wonga, you will know nothing about that next season. Or you, Siddle. We've still got another season of it. So yes, come on, Champions League final.
I'm going to be supporting this. Yeah, guys, hard on Saturday, you know.
All I can say, guys, is, no, thanks for tuning in tonight, guys. Thanks to, you know, the regulars that are tuned in tonight. Thanks to Pums. Thanks to Louis. Thanks to Warren. Thanks to Jason. Thanks to Arjun. Thanks to Arman. I see someone says couple reacts. That was a painful season for all the Arsenal fans, you know. Yeah, very painful season for all you guys. But guys, it's been a great season. And let's obviously make next season a great season as well. But yeah, we still have the Champions League final to look forward to this week. So we still have some shows as well. And we will probably have some interesting content for you guys in the off season as well. We'll probably say good end to the season. No treble for Liverpool. Sam says, Carlos raised eyebrow. Wait, you know, the famous eyebrow. When it happens, guys, that's when the comeback happens. But yeah, guys.
That's going to murder Claudio. Just... then you know it's game over.
just. Oh, sorry, Sam. I forgot your name. Sorry, Sam. Because you irritate me. That's why I forgot your name, Sam. It's because you irritate me.
Siddle Maguire, that's not good, man. You can't forget MVP there, sir. Your captain. Come on, Siddle Maguire.
Sam. I'll send you something in the post. But yeah, thanks a lot, Sam. I enjoy your comments, even though I don't like some of them. But yeah, guys, thanks a lot for tuning in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, tell your mom. You see now, tell your mom, your brother, your sister, your father to subscribe. You see, I knew it. You see, this is why Sam doesn't get mentioned in this show. But yeah, guys, thanks a lot again for tuning in. If you don't know what to
be cool.
Be cool.
Salam Maguire.